No matter who you've been up until this point, just decide today, hey, I'm going to start making those deposits. Don't worry about who you've showed up to be. Like, just worry about today and the next day. And when you, you know, start simple, make sure you follow through with it and just continue that momentum. Be consistent.
Welcome to the Learn It All podcast with your hosts, Learn It CEO, Damon Lemby, and SVP of Product, Darren Bridget. Our mission is to explore how continuous growth shapes the path to success. Our guests are high achievers who've learned there's always something new to discover. They'll share their stories, strategies, and insights with you. So whether you're a budding entrepreneur, a seasoned executive, an aspiring athlete, or simply someone who believes in the lifelong pursuit of knowledge, this podcast is for you. Join us now for the latest episode as we continue the Learn It All's journey through a world that never stops teaching.
Hello and welcome to the Learn It All podcast. We are Damon Lemby, CEO of Learn It, Darren Bridget, VP of the professional development product here at Learn It. And we are joined today by Nate Bailey. Welcome, Nate. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited. Let's go.
Let's give you a little bio here. U.S. Army veteran, served first lieutenant platoon leader in Kuwait 2005-2006. Been an entrepreneur for over 20 years. Runs a life-transforming 4-day experience called Unleash the Leader Within. I think it was 2018. You sold a successful brokerage and just went into this full time. Your focus is a lot around leadership, communication, culture, mindset, performance, and coaching. If you're tuning in, that's what we're going to be looking at today. Performance, communication, mindset, coaching, things like that. There you go. Nate, we like to start off the podcast often with this little question, since we're all about learning here. And I know that you did a lot of learning to transition into this career. I have gotten your story a little bit, but what else are you working on? What are you looking forward to learning coming up in the next 6 months or year?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's not something that typically get asked either. So, you know,
we like to try to be different.
I love it.
That's how we start.
Yeah. Hitting us with the hard questions, right?
Yeah, exactly. What do you hope to learn?
I told him not to, Nate, but you know, he doesn't listen to me.
What's going on here? You know, I mean, obviously, as a leader, as a business owner, and really any area of life, you know, pays to be a really strong communicator. And so I'm always trying to become a better communicator. And I, you know, no matter what it is in your life, I think as long as you remain open to the fact that you don't know everything, and when you remain open to the fact that you can always get better, right? And I can definitely get better in all areas of life, but communication is obviously one area, especially for what I do. I communicate for a living on a podcast, whether it's writing books, speaking, running seminars, doing trainings. It requires verbal or written communication to get your point across in a way that people would understand, to be able to take, and whether it's to implement themselves or to understand your vision. So yeah, I'm always finding ways to become a better communicator and working to become a better communicator. Because, you know, if you're talking to kids, they're going to hear things differently than if you're talking to high level business owners versus another group. So, yeah,
I like that. Because even though it's your job, it's what you do, but it doesn't mean that you stop investing and getting better at it and actually making it a target to improve your skills.
Yeah, Nate, I think you got a great story. Can you just take us back a little bit from your time before the Army, then going into the Army, and how you made that transformation afterwards?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, played college football, and sports athletics was kind of my life. And then once that was done, it was like, all right, now what? What's next? And I had, you know, played at the community college level, the junior college level, and then I bounced around a little bit. So it took me a little longer than the average bear to graduate. So I finished my last year, still had a little school to go, was looking for a challenge, I think, was looking probably even for, like, you know, when you play any sport, right, you have that camaraderie of the team and it's kind of becomes a family. And then once you're done, kind of on the outside now, and you're looking for that community. So I think I turned to the military because of that, joined the military, enlisted originally, and then shortly after that, realized that there was an opportunity to become an officer, become a leader. And so I jumped at that, joined Officer Candidate School, which was a 2-year program as in the Army National Guard. And that took me down the road of being deployed to Kuwait back in 2005, 2006, like you guys talked about. And then coming back from that, jumping back into my insurance brokerage and business, and coming back from Kuwait, being gone for 15 months. I was married at the time, still am married, but was married during the deployment. And it's difficult when you're away from loved ones. And looking back, didn't necessarily ease back into society the best, I will say. And then shortly after that, you start having kids, and that kind of magnifies some problems that you got going on versus solve them. So it was all the things that I think a lot of people can relate to, trying to run a business, wanting to be successful there, kind of losing track of my health a little bit because I was, you know, focused on other priorities in my life, and just getting to a point where eventually in 2014, I think my eyes were open to this world of coaching that I'm a part of, and that is what I do every day and have for the last 6 years now. And so ended up hiring a coach myself to help me to sort my life out and get my life on track into where I ultimately thought it should be or wanted it to be. And it wasn't, and I wasn't able to find the answers myself to figure it out or as quickly as I would like to. And so, yeah, that's really what took me down that path, is recognizing some areas of my life that weren't how I wanted them to be, really across the board, and investing in myself and in other coaches and mentors that would help me to get there a lot faster than I was slugging along myself trying to figure it out. And then ultimately that opened my eyes to that there is this world of coaching out there to help people, because I joined the Army and saw the opportunity to become a leader and thought that was amazing. So gravitated towards that. I've always gravitated towards leadership positions and helping people, impacting people, coaching people. I've coached high school and college athletics. And so I've always have a teaching degree. So really coaching what I do and training and educating and speaking in front of groups and helping people become better in their life really felt natural to me. So that's how I ultimately ended up selling my insurance business to do something that I really loved back in 2018 to do what I do today full time since then.
Yeah, you've clearly done a lot since then, since you started this business. But just to go back a bit, because I realize as you're talking, maybe other people are a little bit confused about this too, because you hear the word coaching a lot, and I'm thinking like life coaching, executive coaching. Yeah. Like specifically, what are you talking about in terms of the kind of coaching that you got and the kind of coaching that you help people with?
Yeah, it definitely falls in the life coaching realm, right? I don't know. I think there's some stigma to that term, so I don't like to use it all that much, but it feels like a non-powerful term, to be honest. But I coach a lot around leadership. The name of my program is Unleash the Leader Within.
Yeah,
leading ourselves at a high level first before we can go out and lead others.
Yeah.
So yeah, really, you can't just focus on one area and hope all the other areas in your life will get better, right? You really have to be intentional across the board. You got to take care of your body so that that can allow you to have the focus and the drive and the energy to be the husband or the wife that you want to be, to be successful in business. They all impact each other. Yeah. And so, yeah, it really is a lot about life and how do we manage that, especially by focusing on working mostly with entrepreneurs and business owners, because they have a unique specific set of stress and pressure that they deal with that the 9-to-5 guy doesn't necessarily. And so you can relate to them because that's who I am ultimately. Married, kids, businessman, got to hold it all together. Sometimes it appears like things are going really well and you and only you know all the stresses and the pressure that are really going on that you're trying to protect everyone else from, and at the same time wearing yourself out. Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of, we focus in on that. All the conversations that we have inside of our coaching groups is, you know, others that are experiencing the same things. But the difference is I guess it's a space where people can be open about it and talk about it and be able to relate to other people. And then from there, navigate and figure out how we can work through it and become better along the way. So, yeah, mindset, leadership, business, life, health, fitness. You can't have one conversation without the other.
Nate, you went from playing sports, football. Similar to me, I played junior college baseball and then Division I baseball, and then all of a sudden it was over with, but I didn't go into the Army. So for me, it also I had like identity, like, well, what am I going to do next, right? But when you went into the Army and you saw the opportunity for a leadership role, did a two-part question. One, did sports give you confidence to help do that, jump into that? And what did sports help you as far as the leadership jumping into? What did you learn from sports that you used as being a leader when you were in the Army?
Yeah, I think absolutely being an athlete, college athlete. I remember, again, when football was done, feeling like I had all this time to do. I was like, what to? Like, it was just really foreign to feel like, all right, I don't have to be at the gym to work out.
Right.
I don't have to get up in the morning for, 5 a.m. conditioning. I don't have to be to practice for 4 to 5 hours a day. You're like, what do these kids do with their life with all this time? And just feeling like it's like, holy cow. So yeah, the discipline to be able to be a part of something like that. And obviously to be an athlete, to be successful, you got to take care of your body. You got to train year round. So there's a lot of self-discipline that comes along with that, that absolutely pours over into being a leader and doing what's required in order to lead others. Because I think as a great leader, you have to be able to not just meet the minimum requirements, but set the standard and be the standard. And that requires you to do a little bit more than everybody else is doing. And so, yeah, all of those traits that you had to have, or that were forced upon you as a college athlete, absolutely carries over to when it comes to leading others that aren't used to living that way or being that way, and how to communicate. And when you're on a football team with 100 different guys, right, you learn how to work with 100 different personalities and how to get along with other people and communicate with them. That's 100% correlates to when you're working with a group of individuals in any area of life. So yeah, there's a ton of crossover for sure.
The leadership is obviously another big theme for you here. It's like you found your way into making changes through coaching and then came to realize that's what you wanted to do. But it was a lot focused on leadership. And we were talking about this because Damon's book, Learn It All Leader, is it only for leaders, or is it because you have this idea that the importance of leading oneself? So I can imagine there's like the work for leaders and then also kind of being a leader just for you.
Yeah, it's mainly for entrepreneurs and business owners, which ultimately I think, yes, they're all leaders, but there is a huge focus in on leading ourselves at the highest level first, right? Because a lot of people want to, they don't lead themselves at a high level, and then they're walking around trying to lead others. And it's just so incongruent that people can see it and smell it. And it's just on those situations, it's like, you don't respect this person because it's like, it's clear that they're not living what they're trying to tell you that they need to be doing. And so it's just not very powerful at all. And so, how do we lead ourselves first at the highest level so that we can then be congruent with the words that we're saying, backed by the actions that we're taking personally to go out and really, truly be what I call a championship leader. So, the foundation, it always starts with ourselves within and then pours over into, because there's a lot of times you're leading people that you have no idea, right? They're watching you, they see you, you definitely are kids. Yeah. They're watching you more than they're listening to to what you're saying. They're watching to see what you're actually doing and how that lines up with what you're saying. And so, there's people all around that we have an impact on that we don't even realize sometimes because, they don't speak about it. But the impact we have is based on who we are and how we show up as a leader, first and foremost for ourselves, is the pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah, I think as a leader, you're always on your actions, your behavior, your body movements. And that goes for as a father too, as a parent too. For the people you coach or just for our listeners, what is a tip or two that you can give them? Where do they start learning how to lead themselves better first?
I created something called the Integrity Bank. So back in 2018, decided I wanted to run 100 miles. And so I really was coming off the couch to do this. I hadn't really ran much before this. And it really comes down to being a person of your word, right? And again, first and foremost, to yourself before others. How can you be a person of your word to others if you're breaking promises to yourself all the time? And so to run 100 miles, I knew that there's just certain things that are required that you have to do in order to be successful. You have to run the miles, right? You have to train. You have to build up this capacity to be able to go 100 miles. Because if you don't, you're going to get a certain amount of time and your body's just going to be like, no matter. There's no level of how, like, you wanting it so bad that you could just push through it to succeed at a 100-mile run, right? You may think that you really want. It's like the analogy of if your kids are drowning in the ocean 2 miles away, but you are not a swimmer,
right?
Do you want to go swim? Do you want to save your children? Yes, absolutely. And you're probably willing to die to do it, but there's no if you don't have the capacity to physically swim out there and get them back to shore, it's just, it doesn't matter that you really want it. It's not going to happen. So I had to do what I called making deposits into my integrity bank by like, all right, hey, I got to run these many miles tomorrow. I got to run these many miles this week. And every time I did that, I'm putting a little deposit into my integrity bank, because too many of us for so long, we're not people of our word. So we're taking withdrawals from our account. Well, we don't have any money in there. So we're writing checks we can't cash with our words. And people know that. And so when you tell somebody and you've showed up like that for so long, like, hey, I'm going to go run 100 miles. If they know me as someone that's just never done the things that I said I would, they're shaking their head like, oh, that's awesome. But they're really inside. They're like, no way. Nate is not going to do that. So you got to build that balance up. And as time goes on and you keep doing the things, you wake up at the time you said you would. You call the person exactly when you said you would. You show up to home when you told your wife you're going to be home. You do the things with the kids that you said that you would. All of those little things are putting those deposits into your integrity bank, because will there be a time in your life when you have to make a withdrawal? Yeah, life's going to happen. Life's going to knock you sideways. School's going to call and say that, hey, your kid's sick. You have to come pick them up. You know, somebody might get sick in your life that's really close to you, and that throws your life for a loop, right? That life happens. It's going to be times when you have to make a withdrawal. Do you have a balance there to make that withdrawal? And then the idea with the integrity bank is I want to make the gap between the time I have to make the withdrawal and the next time, I want to keep creating that gap to be bigger and wider every time. And so that you look back, eventually you're going to have this huge balance in your integrity bank, because you're a person that when you say you're going to do something, people can know that it's going to be done because of who you showed up to be. And so I think that's huge, easy place for people to start, right? It's simple, maybe not as easy to implement, but I always tell people, no matter who you've been up until this point, just decide today, hey, I'm going to start making those deposits. Don't worry about who you've showed up to be. Like, just worry about today and the next day. And when you, you know, start simple, start with a simple promise to yourself tomorrow, make sure you follow through with it and just continue that momentum, be consistent.
We confront this a lot with training, because what you don't want to do is go through a training and learn something and then you feel like it doesn't actually ever change anything for you. In order to make change, you can develop skills, but you also got to develop new habits. And obviously habits are challenging for people. Otherwise you wouldn't have New Year's resolution issues.
Right.
So it's interesting the way that you talk about, I like this idea of an integrity account. You get to take withdrawals, but the bigger you see your account grow, the more confidence you have in what you're doing. And I imagine too, the more it starts to become habituated, like it becomes more automatic, the more you do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Again, that comes to that consistency piece, right? It's a compounding effect. You look back 90 days later and you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm a long ways.
Because a lot of people, especially I think with the New Year's resolution stuff, is they start and then they let themselves down and then they give up. Because you can't, it's like people are going to stumble a little bit along the way. And I imagine that's what you're trying to coach people through, those moments to pick yourself back up and keep going. Like, what do you say to people who want to do what you just said, but they have a hard time if they ever let themselves go?
Well, I think it's always important to have a ton of clarity on what it is that you really want and why it matters, right? That helps drive, you know, if you set a New Year's resolution or a goal for yourself that really doesn't matter to you and you're not used to being the person that can follow through on that, then yeah, you're setting yourself up for failure. If you really have this big, deep-rooted holy cause is what I call it, that when things get hard, when things get tough, when you don't want to run the miles, train for 100 mile, or it's cold outside and you know, you don't, so I don't want to go out. I'll go out tomorrow. Hopefully it's a little warmer or whatever, right? Start making these excuses. But if you really have a deep holy cause or reason why that drives why you're doing what you're doing, that will help. The other piece is give yourself some grace, right? Honestly, it's not about being perfect. Recognize where you are at when you start, right? If you've been the guy that hasn't shown up at the gym every day for years, what makes you think you're going to all of a sudden be that guy? Like, you might miss a day or two. That's okay. Like I said, give yourself some grace, but then just get back and show up the next day, right? Like, it's all about just, you know, make a deposit. If you made it with all, that's all right.
And that powerful why. That's a pretty substantial piece, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It really is. It's weird. People won't take the time to really figure that stuff out, though, right? It's like, I mean, it literally doesn't take that long, But the clarity piece and what is it you really want? Why does it really matter? You know, really writing that out and figuring that out, plotting out a plan for yourself, and then going out and executing. There really is like take a little bit more time on the front end so that you can then be successful on the back end through execution. But it's the same in business, right? That there's people that fly by the seat of their pants, have a great idea and just go and start implementing, but they really don't know what they're doing. And then, you know, again, they're setting themselves up for failure versus the leader or the owner that, you know, comes in with a clear focus, clear plan on who they are and what they want to be and who they're serving. Yeah. And then they go out and do it.
It's like a weak why. You just end up with like a weak why that you haven't really thought through, and it's not strong enough to pull you through to keep making those deposits.
Yeah. And I don't think, I agree with you, Nate. I don't think it's very difficult to do, but people don't want to do it because it is challenging work to sit there, to stop and really think. You know, I think sometimes people, myself included, you just want to move to action because you feel like you're getting things done when, if you actually took a step back and you really thought about why is this important, how am I going to do this, that kind of work is actually hard. So it may not take that much time, but it's not necessarily the kind of work some people, myself included, sometimes really want to do. But if you do get it done, it leads to a much better outcome.
Well, nowadays, too, our attention spans are tiny, right? You sit down and then all of a sudden you're wondering if anyone's messaged you on your phone. We just our attention spans are just so small. So it is. It's just even physically hard for people to sit down to focus on something like that without being distracted.
Totally.
But if you really want the change, you know, who else would you rather pour into than yourself? Because most likely no one else is going to do it for you. It's important work for sure. It's just getting people to see that and then realize it, right? I mean, there's so much information. And then if there's the problem of, well, okay, I can sit down, but I don't really know what to do, right? That's a great excuse. Like, well, I don't know what I'm doing. Well, I don't know. Google it or listen to this podcast or go to YouTube. I'm guarantee you there's 1,000 different ways to sit down and get clarity on your life in video format on YouTube for sure.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I like that, I think, you know, it's the James Clear. Well, there's other people that said too, but that's where I'm thinking of it from.
Yeah.
It has to do with like tying it with your identity. So instead of saying I'm going to run so many miles, or I'm going to complete this goal, that you focus on who you are. I'm somebody who gets up and runs every day. I'm somebody who likes to run, but you change how you, so it's a system, not just like a goal that you finish and then you're done and you're back on the couch again. And of course, I actually do mean to apply this to business sort of situations, but the similarity is there. If you want to make any sort of business improvement or a bigger, you know, it's the same process. You have to have a strong why and connect it to who you are and who you want to be, not just, you know, this thing that you want to have.
Yeah.
Which is coaching. That's coaching, probably, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, helping people see that, helping them to reframe things. You know, when I talk about running 100-mile races, because I've done like 6 of them now, I think I've completed, people will just be like, oh, I'm not a runner. I'm like, well, actually, you are a runner. Can you run? Do you have 2 legs? Yeah. Can you run? Yeah. All right. Well, you're a runner. Like, you are a runner. But by you saying that you're not is going to guarantee 100% that you won't.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can, and you are. So, yeah, I mean, that translates to anything, right? I mean, people, how they talk to themselves and how they see themselves 100% is how they back that up through actions or inactions to prove it right. Because if they have an identity, like you said, you know, that it's, they now have to prove that identity is real for them.
Yeah. Yeah, otherwise you get the cognitive dissonance. Yeah, that's right.
Nate, if our listeners out there or somebody are like, okay, you know what? I want to go out and invest in a coach for myself. What advice do you have for people to figure out who would be the best type of coach? What kind of coach would connect with them? Are there like a list of criteria that they should think about? You know, because not every coach is a great fit for everybody. So
Totally.
What advice do you have around that?
Yeah, I would say I think that I've just naturally done this myself, right? You look for people that are, you know, where you want to be or living the life that you want to have. And also that, you know, especially with social media and coaching, it feels like those two do go a bit hand in hand. You know, so there's plenty of content out there from all of these coaches, plenty of opportunity for you to listen in to someone and see if you resonate with them and how they communicate, how do they talk, you know, would you respond well to that or would you not? And there's a ton of people that I can help. There's a ton of people that just wouldn't be a good fit for me or for them. And so, yeah, finding the right person that you really resonate with that would push you in a way that you would respond well to. And it's not like you shouldn't find the person that's just going to be a pushover that's going to tell you everything that you want to hear. That's not what you're investing in. You're investing in somebody that's going to push you to get a little uncomfortable and to help you to see some things that you can't necessarily see yourself, and that's willing to challenge you, but in a way that would land with you in a positive manner that would push you and that you could be open to and receive so that you can go out and make the change. Because ultimately, that's what it's all about. When you hire a coach, you're looking to change for the better and to get to some place in your life that you're not currently at a faster rate of speed too. So yeah, look for somebody that you resonate with, that's where you want to be. And ultimately, how long have they been doing it? Those are all questions to ask. Do they have a page of testimonials, people talking about their experience with them that you could check out? Those are all things that I would think of or come to mind.
What about from the flip side, when you're looking at prospects who are reaching out to you, do you have specific criteria of who you'll accept as clients? Because I'm sure that there's some red flags in there that, you know.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Right. Yeah. You could tell if someone's really open to coaching or if they're not. And the last thing you want to do is take somebody's money that's going to be a headache, that you have to babysit or hold their hand the entire time. And also, are they willing to, you know, receive feedback, hear things a different way? And are they also, you know, willing to go out and execute and be held accountable? And then it comes down to, who do I really want to work with? Do I want to work with men? Do I want to work with women? You know, what size, what types of companies? And that's always evolving and changing. Even for, as a coach, when you first start out, you're at a certain level. And as you continue to go, just like in any industry, I think, you grow, you get better, you probably start working with a different caliber or level of person. Potentially that becomes, whether you're doing one-on-one work or corporate training or whatever, the size of the company, the size of the team that they work with. Certain companies maybe don't fall in your beliefs, so you don't work with those companies. So yeah, there's all kinds of markers.
Yeah, that just, it's like what you said at Learn It. The last couple of years, we've really made an effort, right, Darren, to try to align ourselves with customers who actually really believe in investing in their team. Investing in their team is not just financially, but also carving out the time to give them the space to be able to learn and develop, because you want it to be a good fit.
You said something there interesting too about, because I would want a coach who's going to push me. Because otherwise, being at the gym watching this trainer, Donna and I, my wife and I work out together. And I just remember this person at the gym would work out and just barely do anything and just talk the whole time. And it's like, it would drive me crazy to be that trainer. But I also wouldn't want to be pushed by somebody that I don't trust. And I don't feel you know, kind of values me. And it feels like, you know, I don't want somebody that's going to be an asshole, right? Mm-hmm. So how do you quickly build trust with people, or do you even attempt? I guess that's a fair question though, because also you don't necessarily get to choose the people on your team in a military situation. How do you build trust with people? What's your recommendation?
Yeah, well, when I was deployed to Kuwait, I was attached to a unit I didn't belong to, so I was going to be a platoon leader. And the first time that I met the 42 soldiers that I was going to lead was the first day of deployment, which isn't in the Army. You know, in the National Guard, that's a little bit more typical, because units are typically not 100% full strength, but when they get deployed, they got to go find soldiers from other units to fill those slots. So that's what happened for me. The first day, I'm going to lead these 42 dudes, 18, most of them 18 to 24 years old, like hard charging infantry soldiers. And they're like, who's this guy, right? Yeah. How do you build trust? You don't do it in day one, but first impressions absolutely are the huge foot in the door. Who are you going to show up to be? How are you going to create yourself in that first time that you interact with a new group of people? Is because we all judge people, and we're all reading people, and first impressions, like I say, are big. So, all right, the first impression allows you to have a second opportunity. And so, you know, just capitalizing on those moments, showing up your best possible self every single time. You can't afford to really not, because once you lose trust, it's much harder and longer to get it back. Doesn't mean you can't still build it, but it really can slow the process down. And then it's like really being genuine, being authentic to who you are, not trying to be somebody that you're not.
Yeah.
And I just spending a lot of time with my guys, with my people, getting
part
to
of
know,
it, isn't
showing,
it?
Just really yeah. showing interest in who they are. Yeah. And that was a full-time process too. And, you know, not being willing to do things that I'm asking them to do, like mm-hmm. not just mm-hmm. sitting in the air conditioning when they're out in the desert and it's 140 degrees, like being yeah. out there with the guys. So it's all those little things, I think, that help to build trust and relationships and connections and ultimately a thriving culture. So yeah, so many things go into it, but again, it's, you know, showing up powerfully and at your best every single opportunity that you have. And then if you slip or you fall, like owning that stuff too mm-hmm. is huge, because we're all going to slip and we're going to fall yeah. and it's that almost carries more weight than when things are going well. I think it probably does.
I agree with you on that. If you take accountability, like, hey, I mess, instead of pushing the blame on somebody, like,
yeah,
hey, I mess, then your guys, your team, they get behind you. They're like, oh, hey, yeah. you know, he's okay with being vulnerable.
Yeah.
It's kind of all like making deposits in the bank, sort of like you were saying.
Absolutely.
Like, you kind of make, we actually talk about that, kind of making these trust deposits. Before we go, something else that I imagine you have some nice insight to offer is team dynamics. You know, you've talked a lot about how great examples, kind of how you lead yourself and holistically show up for yourself so you can be the leader you want to be and probably even the follower you want to be too, and do things like build trust and show up, hold yourself accountable. What are you looking for in a team as a leader? What creates a good team dynamic for those entrepreneurs or business leaders out there? What are some things that they might be looking for?
Well, you know, team dynamics, as far as, you know, you just realize, again, the bigger the team, the more personalities you have. And there's going to be like, there's going to be little cliques or groups within the team, but yet still mm-hmm. finding ways to bring everybody together. So I go back to my military experience. Often not everybody got along with everybody. And so how do you manage that in know that it's, one, it's okay that everybody doesn't like each other. But at the same time, there's still a mission and there's a bigger cause here. And so communicating that and getting everybody to be on board with that. Yeah. And then finding opportunities to limit certain people from each other. If they don't need to be together, why press it and force it when you know it's like the outcome is not going to be a good one? So yeah. being smart, I think, when it comes to that. But yet then also bringing the team together as a collective to do whatever it is, like, I don't know. We had our platoon. I had my platoon run a 5K with us after shift one time. Like just finding different things to do together as a team, as a group, buying steaks for the, like spending time with each other. So maybe some of those relationships where it didn't start off so great over time, doing some of these things brings them together and they realize that, oh, actually, maybe I have a little bit more in common with this person than I thought. And then handling things head on, face on too, when there's disagreements or there's, you know, things that need to be corrected and doing that in a professional way and empowering your mm-hmm. team, right? Mm-hmm. Empowering people in your team to not have to feel like they're micromanaged, to show that you have trust and confidence in them to do certain things that maybe are a little outside of what their roles technically are, like empowering them that way. And all of that included, it's like you could go on. I'm sure there's books written about it, right?
Yeah, there are. No,
I mean, so many things.
Hey, Nate, I gotta. Have you watched the newest Jack Reacher?
I haven't.
The season two. I don't want to give away. Mm-hmm. Well, whatever. Too much. Mm-hmm. But so he flashes back to his army days, and he's put in touch. He's overseeing this platoon or whatever, about 10 or 12 people, and they obviously don't like each other. But they literally don't like each other.
Okay.
And so he takes them to a place where only officers go to play pool. And it's clear that they don't all belong in there. And so some guy comes over and gives them a hard time and says, you guys got to get out of here. Long story short, it leads to a big brawl. And I'm not saying for leadership, but it leads to a big brawl. And they kick everybody's ass.
Yeah.
And at the end, they're all having a beer together.
Brought them together, right? Yeah.
And it was great. Yeah. And somebody sits back and says, I see what you just did. You choreographed that.
Then
they became the best of friends. They became the best of friends because I was thinking about that when you were talking, because it's like a situation where you're running a 5K together or you're doing something together.
Yeah.
They came together here and they, you know, and they
absolutely. That reminds me of the Yeah, you've seen the movie The Replacements with Keanu Reeves?
Oh, totally. Yeah,
gets in the big bar brawl with, and they end up in jail together. Kind of the same. Yeah. Same concept.
Yeah, right? That's right.
Yeah, really. The moment that brings them together, right?
The moment that brings them together.
It's a great reminder, because I think sometimes people feel like I need to set it up so everybody on my team, like, you know, gets along perfectly and likes each other perfectly. It's not exactly that everybody is going to perfectly like each other all the time.
Right.
But you want them to respect each other.
Yeah, totally.
And to all be on the same team. And you need to create the conditions where people can work optimally together as a good team, without it imagining that everybody's going to hold hands and be perfect buddies all the time, as long as you create the right environment to help support it. And then, of course, sometimes you might need to manage people out of different roles, or like you said, don't pair them up exactly, but it's not like
perfect. It's good. I mean, I think you have to have that. You don't want everybody thinking the same way. I think you want diverse teams who have conflict, and then hopefully at the end of the day, on an important decision, everybody gets on the same page. You may not agree with it, but hey, we're gonna go into this together.
You know it's kind of the point of the whole thing that we try to do. It's this idea that the best teams are diverse teams because they have the highest potential. But if you have a diverse team, they're not all going to speak the same language. They're going to have different cultures, ways to communicate, all this different stuff. So it's more challenging for them to realize their potential, but they have better potential. And that's essentially always what we're trying to help people with. And leadership is part of how you get there. Hey, we have one last question we like to ask people, Nate. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Here it comes. So people got to learn some things about you on the podcast, background, and how you made some of these changes. What's something that a lot of people might not expect about you, or something that maybe people don't know or just might be surprised by? We had a guest once talk about how they are a big fan of meteorology, which was surprising.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. I mean, it could be just like, what's something maybe that people might be surprised to know about you that you're comfortable sharing?
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, we saved a really hard portion.
I'm not that excited of a guy. I mean, I've already talked about the 100-mile races, which is pretty unique for sure.
Yeah.
That I enjoyed it. I'm still built like a college football tight end and not an ultra marathon runner. But also something that a lot of people wouldn't know is that back in college, me and my buddies, we were in a Prince video in like 1994. So that's a little unknown. You know, we're in the crowd type thing.
What right? video?
It was pretty cool. Yeah. It's called Get Wild. You find it on YouTube. Get Wild. Yeah.
I was a huge Prince fan.
Yeah. So we went to junior college in Twin Cities. And so Prince had a club back then called Quest. So we were there, and then they invited some people up to be a part of the video. And so we got to do that, which was pretty cool, pretty fun.
Was Prince in the room when it happened?
He was there, and you walked right past us. I just still remember how small he was. He's tiny. Like, holy cows. I didn't realize like how small he was. He's short and super skinny.
He walked by me one time at him and his bodyguards at a club at the Roosevelt Hotel in LA, and I couldn't believe it. I couldn't, you know what I mean? Like, this guy, he's like this, you know?
Right? Yeah, he was small. Yeah.
Everybody's like, wait a second, that was Prince.
Yeah.
One of the best.
Yeah.
That was awesome. How can people get in touch with you?
You know, easiest is my website, natebailey.org. And, you know, all my social handles are there, you know, email. So, you could get a hold of me super easy just through the website.
And we've got a big program coming up in August, right? Before we go, I mean, how did
At least a little within. Yeah, 4-day experience. Yeah, we do a lot of different things to help people kind of break the mold, get uncomfortable, lead themselves at a high level, come together as, you know, a group of individuals, come together as a team really quickly, and get a lot of clarity and vision on their life and where they want to go and how to execute that when they get back.
Is that in person or virtual?
In person, in Nashville, or just outside of Nashville, Franklin, Tennessee.
I love Franklin, Tennessee.
Yeah, and it's a great place. Yeah.
That's great that you do that in-person experience, 4-day in-person experience, Unleash the Leader Within. Also, coaching, public speaking, reach out to Nate. And Nate, it was great having you. Thanks for being
here. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Cheers.